These are the laws which you shall set before Asher Tosim Lifnehem. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, the following are the Mishpatim. Rashi, Ve'ela Mishpatim, Kalmakim Shemar Eile, whatever it says, what Eile is always coming to, Pasalas, or Hashem is coming to cut off. The word, whenever there's a Vav, the Vav, whenever there is no Vav, there is just what Eile, without the Vav, Pasal Esar Rishon, is coming to separate from what happened before. When it says Ve'ele, Moisif Al Horishon, it's coming to add to what was before. What over here, what are we coming to add over here in this case? Ma Harishonim, Misinai Af Eilu Misinai. Just like the Rishonim means the everything in the last week's parasha that we learned was Misinai. All of the things that were taught in last week's parasha were Misinai, Af Elu Misinai. It's coming to make a statement. Everything we're going through in the parasha of Mishpatim, there are so many mitzvahs, so many halachas, parasha Mishpatim. Everything was given Misinai. Moshe Rabbeinu did not make them up. There is nothing. Everything is Minas Shamayim. Okay, that's the first lesson. Next. The next lesson. The next he said, why is the last section of Parshas Yisroi is the law of the Mizbeach? When you build a Mizbeach, you shall build a Mizbeach from gozis, from stones. Do not lift up barzel on the Mizbeach. The very last section of Parshas Yisroi were the laws of how to build a Mizbeach for sacrifices. And then begins Ve'ele Hamishpotim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. It's teaching you about judges, a court system. What's the connection? What's the significance of the juxtaposition between Dayanim and the Mizbeach? So Rashi says V'lom Nisvach Parshas Dayanim LaParshas Mizbeach Lo Mechot, to tell you Shetoshim Sanhedrin Eitzel Mikdash, to teach you that there shall be a Sanhedrin next to the Mikdash. And this is the source for the halacha. What we know there is the Lishka Sagozis. The Lishka Sagozis was the chamber that was adjacent to the in the Beis HaMikdash, where the 71 members of the Sanhedrin sat and judged. The Supreme Court of the land was located in the Beis HaMikdash. And how do you know that? Why is that to be so? Why? It's this pasuk. This, the juxtaposition between Parshas Yisroi and Parshas Mishpatim, teaches us that when you establish a court, a supreme court in the land, it shall be located near the Mizbech. What is the lesson? What's the significance of that? Obviously, it's coming to teach you, well, number one, that it's holy. Laws and Klal Yisrael are not secular. Laws and Klal Yisrael all are the Beis HaMikdash, the Mokum of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine presence is resting. And also, obviously, this thing about Mizbech also always represents the principle of sacrifice. Sacrifice means to give up. You have to be willing to give up. When a person goes to court, what is the expectation? I'm going to win. When a person takes your fellow man to court, I'm going to win. He's going to lose. He will be obliterated. And each of the two parties, usually when they come to court, the reason why they don't settle out of court is because usually each of the parties firmly believes that they will be victorious and they will prevail. And that's not so. That's not the purpose of going to court. The purpose of going to court is to recognize you're going to lose. The Mizbeach, the essence of the Mizbeach is you lose. When a person comes to bring a karban, Chazal tell us, the kavana is, really, I should be the sacrifice. If a person does an avera, really, I should give up my neshama, give up my life to Hashem. However, Hashem does not want human sacrifices, so instead, we bring an animal, I bring an animal in my place. And when the kohen slaughters the animal, the person who's bringing the carbon is supposed to imagine, I really should be the creature who is being slaughtered. And when the Kohen sprinkles the blood on the Mizbeach, the person should imagine that really it should be his blood that is being applied to the Mizbeach. And when his when the imumah being burnt on the mizbeach, a person should imagine really it should be my limbs and fats are being burnt on the mizbeach. Sacred mizbeach is all about giving up. And the Musa Haskil over here is telling us the person, the reason they put a mizbeach, it's on the Sanhedrin on the mizbeach, is the teaching that when you come to a court, the attitude, the proper attitude in court is not to win, it's how to lose. Okay, this dignity in losing, how much do I have to give up? You have to go to, when a person comes to court, there's obviously, it's not a pleasant thing. Obviously, there's a problem. And the question is, how do I resolve the problem? How much do I have to give up? And we go to a Sanhedrin to reveal to us the degree of how much we give up, not how much we take. The whole attitude is totally foreign to us in the secular world. When you go to a Bezdin, even a Bezdin, and certainly when you go to court, it's about winning. It's not about losing. Okay. Asher tosim lefnehem. Omar lo yakodesh baruch hu lemoshe lo yital ladat choloi ma eshtalem ma'perek ha'alacha beizik gimul deparm. It says here, asher tosim. You shall, the word tosim has a connotation of precision. We discussed this many times. There are many different words that the Torah uses to connote putting, to take and to put. Is nesina, asher yitain. The pasuk should really say v'ilach ha'mishpatim asher yitain lifnehem, which you will give, you will deliver before them. What is the difference between the word yitain, nesina, and the word tosim? The answer is the word tosim has a connotation of precision, whereas nesina means just drop it. Person comes to the house, has a delivery, where should I put the boxes? Just drop them wherever you want. Drop it wherever you want. Just put it in the foyer, wherever you want. But sometimes you tell them, don't you dare drop those boxes in the foyer. I just mopped. I just cleaned this. I just painted. You better be careful. Come into the kitchen and put it on this chair, in this corner. And you tell the person, the delivery boy, you give him very, very specific instructions exactly where you want him to put the delivery. That is called a nitosim. So here we're telling you, here Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that when you teach the Jewish people Torah, don't just give them the Rashi Prakim, the cliff notes. Make sure you give them the details and you are very precise in what you teach them. Omar lo yakadosh baruch hu Moshe lo yital ladat choloma to say eshne Elohim, I will teach them haperek, the perek, the chapter, v'hahalocha, base two, or gimel palm two or three times, actually the hey seduda b'fihem, kim mishnasa, until it's arranged and they understand it and it's organized. V'eini matriach atzmi lehavinam ta'amei hadavar u'perushai, but I will not exert myself to explain to them the reasons for the matter and its explanation. L'kach nemar asher tosim lifnehem, the word tosim has a connotation, kishulchon ha'aruch, a table that is arranged, umuchon, and is prepared lechol lifnei ha'adam. It's like you go to a restaurant, all the food is ready, everything is prepared, everything has to be al mekoymai. Okay, the next halacha lifnehem v'lo lifnei avdekach alilim, that you these laws you put before the Jewish people, the word lifnehem is superfluous to teach you that the halacha, that whenever there's a question, mishpat, it must be presented to a Jewish court, and not before a non-Jewish court. V'afilu yodat, even if you are certain, b'din echad, a certain law, shehem donim otsoi kedine Yisrael, that they follow the same laws of the Jewish people, it doesn't matter. Al tevi'il be'arkois shalohem, do not bring a litigation, any dispute to a secular court. Shehamevi dine Yisrael lefnei aramim, a person who brings a din Torah of two people, two Jews are fighting, and they settle the din Torah, their dispute, before a secular court. Aramim means a non-Jewish court, a non-Jews. Mechalel es Hashem. It is a chilul Hashem. Umeyaker, you are glorifying Shem Hoelilim, the name of the idols, lehashbicham, and some say, some chem lehachashivam, to give them, either to praise them or to give them chashivos, shenemar, ki loy kitzureinu tzuram v'oyveinu pelilim. It is the pasuk that our creator is not like their tzura, and our enemies are pelilim. What does that mean, pelilim? Ki sho'oyveinu pelilim. When our enemies, the word pelilim means a judge. When the edim, when our enemies are our judges, zehu edus, this is a testimony, le'ilui, for the elevation, the worship, yirasam, of their deity. So the pasuk here says, ki loy chitzureinu tzuram, our creator is not like their images. Our creator is our tzureinu, our creator. Tzuram means their idols. The oyveinu pelilim, and our enemies are our judges. So he's explaining, I'm not really sure that I understand this. Kishoyveinu pelilim, he's reading this backwards. I think he's reading the pasuk backwards. When our enemies are our judges, then it's edus l'ilu yirasam. It's testimony. Okay, I'm not really sure. I should have done my homework. I don't really have clarity in how he's darshing the pasuk. He's darshing the pasuk, the last two words, v'yveinu pelilim, when our enemies are our judges, then it's tsuram. We are giving honor to their deities.
So how is he giving that into the superiority?
We're giving them chashivas. Superiority means we're giving them lashpicham. So he's reading, but how do we read this into the pasuk? It says the end of the pasuk, vayveinu pelilim, our enemies are our judges. Yeah, therefore what? Now go backwards. Then kiloi kitzureinu tsuram. Okay, he's taking these words. I'm not sure I understand. I don't know what this means. He's taking these words, kilo chitzureinu tsuram. Our creator is not like their idols. Their idols are just stone and wood. Hashem is everything. But when we allow our enemies to serve as our judges, then we are making believe that their gods are equal or greater than our God. So he's somehow, or maybe
the laws. Their laws.
Okay. Their law, right. Because you go to this. It could be this could be the, it's like a euphemism. I think what he means over here is kilo over here. Sometimes you say something in the negative. It's a euphemism. I think that's what he means to say. Kiloi chitzureinu kitzuram means basically the way you would translate it is that the Jewish people are treating idols of the non-Jews equal to Hashem. And when it says kilo is a euphemism because the pasuk doesn't want to say something so horrible. Doesn't want to say something horrible that tsureinu tsuram, that our God is equal. Our God is equal to their deities. The pasuk cannot write that. So the pasuk writes it in the negative. Kilo kitzureinu tsuram. But the pasuk really means to say that we are treating Hashem, their gods, equal to our creator. How? How do the Jewish people worship their idols when the oyveinu pelilim? When we allow our enemies to be our judges. It's a very big chalashim. It's a very big problem. Because today the Jewish courts, we always talk about the Sabbath. We're not going to go talk about it again. We'll give a whole shiur on this. But we have a very big problem because today in Golis, it's very, very hard to get to settle any serious matter in a bezdin. And today we have no choice in many situations to work through the secular courts. And it's a outright violation of Shulchan Aruch to go to a secular court when you can go to a Beis Din, and yet it's done every single day. So how do we reconcile this violation of Lifnehem V'loy Lifnei Arkois? What's the reconciliation? There is none. So the only thing that we do today, at least today, is better than it used to be. Today at least, I think there's much more awareness. Years ago, there wasn't even awareness. Many people years ago didn't even know it's Aser. They read the Rashi. I don't know. Maybe they didn't even read the Rashi. They don't learn the Rashi. Asher Tosim, they don't even care. They're not concerned. But today there's definitely much more of an awareness that it is categorically forbidden to go to a secular court. And there are today a lot of bati dinim. And the matzav of the bati dinim today is far, far better than it was years ago. But it's still very problematic. And basically what we do today is Bezdin authorizes you, gives you permission to go to a secular court. In essence, Bezdin makes the secular court their agents in settling your dispute. And you need to get from Bezdin a shtar. You need to get from a legitimate Bezdin a document which says you've come before us. And we unfortunately do not have the power to settle this issue. This issue is above our heads. And in the country that we live, we cannot settle this. And therefore, the Beis Din gives you permission to go to a secular court, and they will settle the matter the best that they can. So that is what is supposed to be done. And it is done. This is done in Maisam Chol Yom. But unfortunately...
Rabbi,
yeah?
Maybe it is based on the previous statement of Rashi, which you said. Rashi said we should not teach him the laws, but we should present them like on a table. So you can go into the secular court and present your case.
You can
in
go...
The life of the, like you would do it in front of a basket. But don't explain him the underlying motives or whatever, halacha.
Okay. Whatever. You go to a court. You have to follow the rules. You know, you have a lawyer and you have all the arguments and you have this and that. Soon there's going to be a circus tomorrow, right? Tomorrow starts the impeachment trial. Orthodox Jew. Who's leading the services? Mayor. Are they going to say Chatzi Kaddish after the arguments? After they finish the arguments. Right, every day, mayor, every day after they finish the trial, after they finish, they break. When they break for the day, they should zog a chatzi kaddish, a chatzi rabbanim.
The lawyer is a frum guy from a...
I know, that's what I told you. So I said tomorrow, every day, for the next, during
Schumer
the trial.
Schumer gave them approval.
For Shabbos.
Not to leave early Friday and no session on Shabbos.
Amazing! I'm shocked.
Schumer used to, when he was young, he used to tell everybody, "My name is Schumer Shabbos."
What does that mean?
Schumer Shabbos.
I'm really surprised the gay permissioner. I'm really surprised.
I'm also surprised. You know, he was busted, this cop who they brought his ashes into the Capitol.
Yeah.
So he's busted with a. He says the first thing he says, it says in Matthew. You know.
Yeah.
He started with the New Testament.
Who said? Who?
You didn't write it anyway.
Who? Schumer?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Schumer. What a Chil Hashem. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He's a walking Chil Hashem.
Unbelievable. All right, but you know, I gave you a good joke that every day when they break to go home, they should zog a Kaddish Rabbanan.
Women probably have a millionaire anyway, right?
Well, who else? All the lawyers. All right, Vaita.
The women not a million. The problem is that the women want to join. You know? The black women who say, I feel Jewish.
This is not going to be good. All right, any event. Okay, so this is the Rashi case. Bottom line over here is, you have over here a lot of Rashis. The Rashi over here playing out many, many Yisaydis. Let's chaza out very quickly. One of them first is the Ve'ele HaMishpatim. Ve'ele, everything in Parashas Mishpatim is Misinai. The next halacha over here is Asher Tosim. Next halacha. Why is there a Mizbeach? What's the juxtaposition to Parashas Mishpatim to Parashas Yisro? You shall put a Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMizbeach. The third halacha, Asher Tosim Lefneim, Moshe, you just can't teach them the halacha two or three times. You have to chazer with them over and over and over until they know all the pratim, the reasons, and the timing. The next thing is, the next halacha is Lefneim, Veloy Lefnei Arkois. You're not allowed to go to a secular court, and a person needs to go to a secular court today, halacha lemaisa. He must get permission from a Jewish court to go to a secular court. Okay, so these are all the yesoides of the first Rashis. And now let's see the Targum. V'ilein dinayo. Okay, these are the laws. This sasdar. Okay, that you shall arrange. Okay, I think we've already discovered one Rashi was bothering Rashi. Kodo mehoin, before the Jewish people. Let's see the parish. Dis sasdar. L'shoin seder va'aricha. To arrange. Kamasha Kosov Rashi, Asher Tosim Flame, Locus of Asher Tilamdame, Sarkatal Sadu, Lahosim Flame, Tama Miyashev, Talmudam, you have to go and arrange and put before them the reason that will satisfy them. Now, if not for this parish, I would politely disagree with what he says. You see, I'm in this frame of mind that Rashi only makes a comment when he's coming to disagree. That's what we're doing over here. So I already did this with you a few times. I totally take his Torah, his Chidushim, and I totally disagree, just the opposite. Over here he's saying, Rashi makes a whole point. See, Rashi makes a whole point. Asher Tosim, the word is Tosim. It's not enough to be Sidura. What do you got to do? You got to go. Hashem says no. You got to go give it. Why did Rashi say that? Rashi has nothing else to say. Rashi doesn't have enough midrashim, enough midrash halacha. There's an infinite amount of chidushim Rashi could have said. Why did he select this? You know why? Because he's coming to start up with the Targum. Because the Targum says exactly that. It says over here, ve'elech ha'mishpat masher tosim, and the Targum says, you know what the translation of the word tosim is? It means de sastar. Say there. What is say there? Say there means the Roshei Parakim. Okay, just the basic principles. You don't have to go down, you don't have to learn every single detail. Okay, so along comes Rashi. Rashi is coming to disagree that from the Targum it's Mashma, maybe the Targum holds it, it's in a Hanami. It's not the job of Moshe Rabbeinu to go and spend all of his time teaching everyone every single little detail. Moshe Rabbeinu has much more important things to do. He doesn't have time for this. He'll teach you the basic principles, and if you want to know the details, go learn it yourself. Go get a Rebbe and work hard to understand the basic details. It's not the role of Moshe Rabbeinu to be a babysitter and to spoon feed every single person. People have these unrealistic expectations from people. Okay, there's certain, it's very common. Yeah, rabbis always suffer from this. There's certain balabatim, they have unrealistic expectations that the rabbi is supposed to do everything for them from A to Z. That's not my job. I'll help you and I'll do for you what I'm supposed to do, but I don't have time to go deal with every person and such to micro teach every person. And Rashi comes along and Rashi says, I disagree. I believe that Moshe Rabbeinu was being instructed to go and teach every person all of the pratim, every single little detail. You'll ask, how then does Moshe have time? I don't know. So I'm trying to suggest to you that this is exactly the point of disagreement between Rashi and the Targum. There's a fundamental disagreement as to the role of a rabbi. When you hire a rabbi to service the community, what is, you know, you have a contract, so in the contract you can write whatever you want. Okay, you have a certain specific deal, but let's say generally, what is the role of a leader? According to the Targum, Targum says, give me a break. What do you want from me? I have 3 million people I have to service. I can't go shovel everyone's snow. You know, I can't even shovel my snow. I don't go shovel everyone's snow. It's not my problem to shovel yours. You go figure it out yourself. Asher, just say there. De sasdar. Rashi says, no, Moshe, it's your problem. That's right. Go shovel everyone's snow. It's your problem. It's not enough just to go and teach them the halacha 2 or 3 times. Teach them the reasons. If Rashi says something, you have to know what is bothering Rashi. Someone wrote a sefer, and they have a whole series. What's bothering Rashi? So that person who wrote the sefer, he has a whole different mahalach. Here, our goal is to understand, as we always say every week, Rashi is a super commentary on Unkelus. Every word Rashi says is geared, is directed to Unkelus, either to openly disagree with him or to subtly disagree with him. And here I think is a good example. Next. Okay, now let's go to the next words over here. Now he goes, V'chein tigim v'yosim l'fneyem v'chayat harash ha'asom ha'ishol l'fneyem v'yishol ha'ol si b'fiyem. Okay, then this and he goes, V'nas takilok tingil l'shon ha'mikra shavya b'fu mehoin v'nir shol das unkel estafka l'osim l'fnei ma'ashmois l'sader l'sader l'fneyem. That's, okay, we spend enough time on this idea. V'chein v'zoyar shbir v'atargim al das ha'kabol. Okay, fine. Next, pasuk base. Now we go to the next pasuk, ki sik, now we get into the nigger, ki sik, never a person will be purchased, never a Jewish slave. Shei, shemim yavod v'ashvis, yetzei lachav shichinam, if he purchased an eved ivri. He works for you for 6 years, and the seventh year he goes out. And by the way, this has nothing to do with Shemitah. Some people, they make this mistake, and they think that this has to do with Shemitah. Nothing with Shemitah. As eved ivri works in the year of Shemitah. There's no such thing as avodim going free in the year of Shemitah. He does not even go free in Yovel. Okay, if you, the halacha of Yovel is for an Eved Kenani. No, I made a mistake. No. For a Niritza, only for a Niritza. Only a Niritza. But if you have an Eved Ivri, let's say you have an Eved Ivri, and he works through Yovel, and you hire him, he's yours for 6 years. And that means if those 6 years overlap with Shemitah and Yovel, so be it. Okay, the maximum sentence that an Eved Ivri can serve is 6 years. Okay. After 6 years, an Eved Ivri goes free. It's very interesting. This is no, who's the Eved Ivri? An Eved Ivri is usually either a person he hires himself out, or in the worst case scenario, Bezdin. Bezdin sells him as a slave to pay off his debts. Compare that to the system of correction system in America. In America, a person commits a crime. Let's say a person commits a crime and he robs a bank. And he steals something. He destroys property. So what do? So they put him away in prison, and the government pays even more money than what he stole to keep him locked up. Okay, make believe a guy goes into a grocery store, and he holds them up, right? And he goes, this is a stick up, and he cleans out the cash register, and he takes, let's say, $500. Right, $500, and he runs away, and they take out the surveillance cameras, and they go and they track him down. Oh, we got him. They lock him up, and they have a trial, and they put him away. The judge says, okay, 2 years, lock you away for 2 years in prison. How much did the federal and state and city pay to capture him? To put him on trial and to lock him up for 2 years. Millions of dollars. How much did he steal? He stole $500. Now, does that make sense? Well, you'll say to me, well, he's a threat to society. It's Meshuggah. If you don't do this, if the government doesn't pay $1,000, $1,000, $1,000,000 to lock him up for 2 years, he'll do it again. He'll do it again, and he'll go and he'll harass people. Maybe he'll kill someone next time. He's a threat to society. Okay, I agree. I guess I agree with that. But what happened in time of Chazal? Chazal basically said rehabilitation. You stole $500. So the first thing, what we're going to do is we're going to sell you as a slave. There's this person over here. He needs a worker. He needs a worker to do slave labor. You know, he has to go hard labor to schlep some, to irrigate the field. And he would hire someone for $500. He's willing to hire someone for $500. So Bezdin says, guess what? You're that guy. So Bezdin goes to this farmer who needs someone to do slave labor. And it's not so easy to find a worker. And Bezdin says, we got someone for you. Here he is. Take him. Costs five. It's a bargain. Bargain. Where are you going to get for $500 someone to do all this slave labor? Okay? The guy gives $500, and the $500 goes to pay back the grocery store that was robbed. So they're happy they got their money back. This fellow, he got a job. Wow, a real job. Not like what they do in prisons and they go and they, I don't know what they do there for 10 cents an hour. Got a real job. And what's the advantage of this real job? The person who purchased him will rehabilitate him. He'll every day sit down, have lunch with him, and teach him about life. Teach him, will do chesed, will teach him how to live. And this guy will observe this family, how they live. And this will be rehabilitation. Now, obviously, this doesn't really work. This system, obviously, is not going to work in America, this type of system. Because in America, you deal with different clientele. But Klal Yisrael has their own collection of juveniles that need that. And for them, at least in ancient times, this was a wonderful system. A wonderful system where everyone walks away happy. The victims get back their money right away. The criminal gets rehabilitation. The balabayas gets a slave, gets a worker, cheap labor. And also, he does chesed. He teaches, he rehabilitates him. It's an incredible thing. And this is not forever. You don't get a sentence of a lifetime sentence. You get a sentence for the max 6 years. That's the max. No one gets a sentence more than 6 years. If you're a murderer, you get killed. Okay, if someone's a murderer, gets killed. And as Chazal say, if a person does commits murder and they get, and there's some technicalities, they can't kill him. So you know what they do? They anyway kill him. They just don't kill him with a Misas Bezdin. If there's a guy out there who doesn't deserve to live, Bezdin finds a way to kill him without the ceremony of Misas Bezdin. So it was a very different system. And even though it may seem a little bit strange, but there was a lot of chokhmah behind the system, we totally don't relate to any of this. Ki signe evad every sheshem yavod 6 years of ashvis and 7 years yetsi lachavshi chinam, he goes out free. Two words, lachavshi chinam, really there are three words. There's yetsi, he goes out. Lachavshi, free. Chinam, for free. What's the significance of these three words? Let's see Rashi. Rashi here says, ki signe, if you purchase an eved ivri. Eved, the Rashi here clarifies. What exactly does it mean every ivri? Here's Rashi's dilemma. When it says ivri, does this mean a Jew? Is the word ivri modifying the slave, that the slave is Jewish? Or maybe the word ivri, the subject of the word ivri, is the one who sold you, this human being, the eved. Again, a Jew is purchasing a slave, and the slave is called ivri. What is the subject of the word ivri? Is the subject the slave? And the pasuk is telling us that the slave himself is Jewish. Or is the subject the seller? The person who sold you the slave is Jewish. But what kind of slave did he sell you? He sold you a goy, a non-Jew, an Eved Kenani. That is Rashi's dilemma. Eved, so Rashi first says, is it Eved Shehu Ivri? Does it mean a slave that's Jewish? Oy Eina Ele Avdoi Shel Ivri. You're buying a non-Jew who is the slave of another Jew. So the word ivri, the subject of the word ivri, is the seller, which means an eved kedani shelokachtoi, which you've purchased me Yisrael. And in the second side of this dilemma, it would result in an awesome chiddush, that if you purchase a non-Jewish slave from a Jew, the non-Jewish slave goes out after 6 years. The olav oimer sheish shonim yavod. Omani mekayim ah, but there's another pasuk that says when it comes to a slave, you can work them forever. V'snachaltem asam l'reshes l'reshes. There the pasuk includes forever. That means v'lokuach min hakenanim. So we'll answer that it depends from whom you buy a non-Jewish slave. If you buy a non-Jewish slave from a non-Jew, that's where we will apply the other pasuk that tells us that you can work him forever. But if you purchase a non-Jewish slave from a Jew, you only can work with him for a maximum of 6 years. So we have a dilemma. What is the answer? Talmud Lomar, it says in Devarim, ki yimocher lecha ha'ivri. It says there the same parasha, and there the same parasha there explicitly says that the slave is Jewish. Loyamarti elo biochicha. So here Rashi is telling something very fascinating, that what it says in Parshas Mishpatim is not defined. We would never know what it means. The only way to really know what this means is to see the way Moshe Rabbeinu explained it in Chumash Devarim. That's very, very fascinating. Because Chumash Devarim, everyone knows that the difference between this parasha, between the first four Chumashim and Chumash Devarim. The first four Chumashim, everything that Moshe Rabbeinu said was straight from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Direct. In Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu was given permission to express himself, to say things over in his own words. And by doing so, it had the advantage of Moshe Rabbeinu embellishing some concepts that we otherwise would not have understood. And here's one classic example. Here, if we did not have a Chumash Devarim of Moshe Rabbeinu reviewing this halacha, then we would have no way to understand what this pasuk means. And know what the result would then be. We would have to be machmir. We have no choice but to say that if you purchase a non-Jew from another Jew, after 6 years you have to let him go free. Because it cannot be determined what the pasuk here means. But being that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, who went to Shamayim for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came down and when he reviewed the halacha, he clarified that what it says in Parshas Mishpatim, in Eved Ivri, it means a slave that is a Jew, not a non-Jewish slave that was purchased from a Jew. Now we can have confidence that we know what the pasuk means, and if you purchase a non-Jew, you can work for him forever, and a Jew, no matter what, does not work more than 6 years. So this Rashi indirectly is teaching us a very powerful principle of the beauty and the necessity of Moshe Rabbeinu to give us Mishneh Torah, because in Mishneh Torah, he clarifies many of the esoteric things that we others would not know. Next, ki siknem yad bezdin, you purchase from who? You buy from the bezdin. Shemachu bin gneva saik, and so we explain who would you buy it for, from? So Rashi says you buy it from bezdin. It says later on, if he does not, later on in this parsha, if a person steals and does not have money to pay, he's going to be sold. Wait a minute, Rashi has a dilemma. Same dilemma. This pasuk says after 6 years you go out. So Rashi has a dilemma. Maybe the only time a person goes out is only when he is sold by Bezdin. But if a person sells himself because he needs the money, then maybe the halacha will be that you could work him forever. There is no limitation of 6 years. So what do we know? Kishu Oimer, when it says in Vayikra, here we go to Vayikra, V'chiyomu chachicha imach v'nimkar lach, there's another pasuk, in Chumash Vayikra, and he sold to you, harei moicher atzmai mibnei dochayu amur, there it talks about selling himself, and there the pasuk also says only 6 years, Umani Mekayim. You don't have the Rashi. Let me read you Rashi. It's on the other page. We'll finish up. Umani Mekayim. How am I going to explain? Umani Mekayim. You don't have this. Ki Sikne Benimkar Bebezdin. So the answer over here is. I didn't explain it correctly. Let's read the Rashi very quickly one more time. We have a dilemma. When it says kisikne, the dilemma here is what are we discussing? Who sold him? Who sold this Jewish slave? Did the Jewish slave sell himself, or was he sold by Bezdin? That's our dilemma. So let's suggest that this pasuk, I said the wrong way. This pasuk is discussing where he sells himself. And when a person, in other words, you have to ask the question: what's worse, misvara? Logically, which scenario would we think when we suggest your acquisition is more significant and it would be permitted to work the person forever. So Rashi says, logically, that would be when Beis Din sells a person. When Beis Din sells a person, then there's a svara to say, you can keep him forever. Oh, but the Pasuk here says you only can work him for 6 years. So Rashi is suggesting maybe the Pasuk that says only 6 years, only when he sells himself. But if Beis Din sells him, Beis Din sells him, then you can work him forever. In order to reject that, we go to Chumash Vayikra, where this mitzvah is repeated. And there it says explicitly a person sells himself and he has to go free after 6 years. So by process of elimination, the Pasuk here is discussing where Beis Din sells him. And even where Beis Din sells him, the Pasuk says he has to go free. Okay, we're out of time. We'll stop over here. Amir Hashem, tomorrow we will continue. Thank you for joining me, Rabbi Sai. Have a good night. Have a good night. Be well.
This Friday night in Meir Shearim, there was a Shalom Zecher. And after Shalom Zecher, one of the guys with the strimal was sitting with his phone.
Phone?
With his phone.
What's up, Shat?